Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Stovekraft Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that the conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajendra Gandhi, Managing Director at Stovekraft Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Stovekraft Limited, I extend a warm welcome to all participants on the Q2 FY24 financial results earnings call. Let me take this opportunity to wish everyone in advance a very happy and safe Diwali. We also have Orient Capital with us on the call, who are our investor relations advisors. We have uploaded our investor deck and earnings press release on the stock exchanges and the company's website. I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through them. In Q2 FY24, we continued with our growth trajectory, both in terms of top line and margins. Our top line has witnessed a growth of 27.5% and gross profit increasing by 22%. We expect to maintain our strong and established market position in kitchen appliances segment through our diverse product offerings in this category. Higher market penetration, extensive distributor network in the domestic and international markets, strong brand name combined with changing favorable demographics like rising number of nuclear families and the change in consumption pattern resulting in shorter replacement cycle for pressure cookers and other categories augurs well for our future growth. Growth for the quarter was higher despite a delayed festive season, as majority of the days of the festive season this year being in the December quarter, unlike last year when some of them were in July-September quarter. Overall, demand in rural and urban areas was slow yet consistent, albeit a slight drop in overall sentiment, particularly in rural areas during August and early September, which was triggered by irregular rainfall in few regions of the country, followed by a spike in food prices resulting in higher inflationary pressure, keeping the demand lower during the quarter. Demand recovery is expected to continue to improve during the December quarter with the onset of festive season, range-bound retail and food inflation, and government spending between now and the elections. Indigenization and backward integration with strong brand presence remains our core strength, and continuing with the same, we have added new manufacturing units which commenced in H1 of the current financial year. These units will cater to a wide variety of plants, including iron plant, air fryers, stainless steel pressure cookers, electric rice cooker plant, the kettle and the bottle plant. Additionally, adapting to the changing environment and consumer demands has been our priority, and we continue the same with the launch of new products under multiple product categories. These include new and improved range of induction cooktops, pressure cookers, one-of-its-kind multi-use mixer grinder with our ultra-powerful motor, range of cast iron cookware, oven toaster griller cum air fryer, double stainless steel rice cooker, and under small appliances, we have products like sandwich makers, knives, juicers, steam and dryer ovens. Store expansion continued for the current quarter with the addition of 29 new stores in the current quarter. Our store count now stands at 106 stores in five southern states. 90% of our stores have achieved operational break-even in an average time of 3 months post-opening. Our stores have an average monthly sale of INR 4 lakhs per store, almost doubling since March 2023, with the potential to increase as they get established since the majority of our stores have been added in the last 1 year. The company continues to expand its presence in retail for Pigeon brand across multiple strategic locations. Now I will discuss Q2 FY24 financial performance. The consolidated revenue at INR 379.8 crore for the current quarter versus 297.7 crore in the previous quarter, hence registering a growth of 27.5% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Gross profit for the quarter stood at 134.1 crore versus 131.9 crore in Q2 FY23 and 109.9 crore in Q1 FY24, registering a growth of 1.7% year-on-year and 22.0% quarter-on-quarter. Gross profit margin for the current quarter stood at 35.3%. That's an increase of 280 basis points year-on-year. EBITDA for Q2 FY24 stood at INR 39.9 crores versus INR 23.9 crores in Q1 FY24, showing a growth of 66.7% quarter-on-quarter. The EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 10.5% versus 8% in Q1 FY24. Profit after tax for Q2 FY24 stood at 16.5 crores versus 8.2 crores in Q1 FY24. Registering a growth of 101.6% quarter-on-quarter. PAT margins for Q2 FY24 stood at 4.4% as compared to 2.8% in Q1 FY24, improving by 160 basis points quarter-on-quarter. Quickly moving through H1 FY24 financial performance. Consolidated revenue from operations for H1 FY24 stood at 677.5 crores. Gross profit stood at INR 244 crores. EBITDA for the same period is INR 63.9 crores. PAT for H1 FY24 stood at 24.7 crores. Now I would request the moderator to open the floor for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Sir, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. My question is for the second quarter, how much do you think was the sales which got pushed to the following month because of the delayed festivals? Approximate numbers, in terms of rupees crores.
Okay, good evening, Ashwalji. Basically, I could suggest you that you consider the second and third quarter as one quarter. And because majority of that Diwali sale is moved to the third quarter, you'll have to compare the second quarter with the third quarter and the third quarter with the second quarter. More or less, it is like that. So if you want to quantify, we would say that it will be in the range of 50 crores.
50 crores. Okay. So if this 50 crore was there in 2Q, how would the number, it would have still appeared fairly subdued, right, in terms of growth. We have been used to growing in double digit high teens, and it would have been probably, if I make it, it would be probably a 5-6% kind of a growth on a YY basis, even if I adjust for 50 crores. So what I wanted to understand your sense is, is this entirely to do with the macro environment, or you think there was some something which was lacking, with us as well in terms of why the growth didn't come through?
No, we believe that growth was there with our business. Of course, you calculated the percentage of growth and all that, but the second quarter, particularly the first and second quarter of last year, was relatively strong. The base is strong, and versus the base for the third quarter was relatively weak. They were driven by higher demand environment compared to the current demand environment. So we still believe that we will continue to grow at historic growth rates. Even under current demand condition, we believe that there is enough traction for our products, and we are able to get to a higher double-digit growth. But if the demand comes back like it was in the first and second quarter of last year, we will be back to our historic growth rate.
Understood. Is it possible to get a sense as to, you know, in terms of the pricing on a YY basis specifically, how much reduction would have happened in the form of scheme discount or absolute price reduction?
Yeah, there is a softening on the input cost, and as a strategy that we follow, we pass on both the increase or the reduction in cost. So the growth rate is also looks a little subdued because in value terms, the cost of these products would have come down for our revenue recognition. And so it is in the range of 4 to 5%.
So 4 to 5% reduction in the pricing effectively. So
yeah.
This would have been actually if there was no delayed festival and not such a price reduction, you would have still actually be early teens actually in terms of growth.
For the quarter, the base for that particular quarter was very strong. But overall for the year, we still continue that we believe that we will be able to grow at double digits. If the demand scenario continues to be at the current level. But if the demand scenario improves and if the demand is better than what it is currently, we go back to historic growth rates.
Okay.
To give you a little more insight, I will tell you our growth is also not only driven by our existing products. There are range of new products that we are getting into, and all those products where we have got to the stage where we got to into manufacturing, we are seeing very, very strong position in those categories. And we are moving towards leadership in those categories, and these are new revenue for us. So that is also driving the growth for us, apart from our own retail, which almost was at a very low, very, very low base, and the contribution from our retail will be absolute growth.
Understood. Which are these new products and how much have they contributed in 2Q, sir?
See, some of these appliances are all new. We have just started manufacturing some of them, but the air fryer category is giving us very strong headwinds. We are going very strong there. And similarly, we are getting into some appliances like the OTG air fryer. We are getting into the slow juicer. Very soon, we are getting into some more electrical products that will be launched in this quarter. So all these products, we are going through the phase where it will get to manufacturing. Air fryer today, of course, we manufacture the whole product within the facilities of Stovecraft. And we have a very strong demand. In fact, I can only say that we are currently not able to even execute the total demand. So we are also ramping up our manufacturing capacities on the air fryer.
Okay. Understood. And just
to give you one more insight, we got into manufacture of electric irons. While it is still a small number, is not very huge. But the growth rate of the electric irons is very, very large. If I say it is in the excess of 1,000%. So that is a kind of, because we got into the manufacture of these electric irons. So the revenue, of course, for the overall as a product category, maybe looks smaller, but it's a category where we are getting to very strong position, and in the future you can see us as leaders there.
Got it. Just a comment on the gross margin and EBITDA margin. How do we see from a full year perspective? You think you will be able to achieve a double digit for at EBITDA level, or you think that is tough?
No, we are very confident of a double digit, and even on the gross margin, we'll be upwards of 35%.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you, Adilji.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Natasha Jain from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, gentlemen, and thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on the mixer, small appliance and other categories. Firstly, could you just list out the product lineup here and also specifically the growth in each product and how the mixers as a category did in this quarter?
So for us, mixer grinders also contribute to the other varieties of products that are have different nomenclature in the consumer market. So what we call as personal blenders or slow juicers These are all falling under the mixer grinder category for us. The traditional mixer grinder category, we are revamping it. Actually, we are going through a phase where we are going to introduce maybe for the Indian market a state-of-the-art product. So only the mixer grinder, the traditional mixer grinder is going through a revamping, and it is a kind of a slowdown on that. But all the appliances, all other than the cooktop, cookware category, we classify as appliances, and there is a range of products including the electric iron. We mentioned about the air fryer. We started making the rice cookers and the OTG. Now you started assembling the oven toaster grill OTGs, and very soon we are getting into producing some more electrical appliances. But these existing products that we have got into have seen very high growth because of both in terms of what Indianized product we are able to offer the consumer, which is much more sturdier, which are manufactured within the facilities of Stovecraft. It has got the cost advantage and supply chain advantage. Real time, we are able to reach our consumer as per the requirement. So we are seeing very high growth in this category. Even on Q1Q, while the Q1 itself was good for us, good growth on the appliances category, we continue to grow on that growth also in the second quarter in the appliances category.
Understood, sir. So my second question is more of a broader macro level question. So we've done a lot of channel checks, and those checks suggest that there has been a broader slowdown for small kitchen appliances. Now your commentary is more on the bullish side, so I just want to match this up. That is there a slowdown, broader slowdown that you've witnessed, or is it only transitory and this is not expected to continue going forward?
So for us, appliances also include in the induction cooktop and the kettles, where we classify the induction cooktop in the cooktop category. We are seeing good growth on our induction cooktop and also the electric kettles, if you will qualify them as appliances. And overall demand scenario is muted. It's not a very high demand scenario, but also because many of these appliances, we have got into the stage where we are manufacturing this and we are much more competitive than what we used to be. We are definitely more competitive than our competitors. So for us, the base is smaller for the small appliances, and we are seeing growth. And overall, as a scenario, the demand scenario, it seems to be a little muted. It's not on the very high demand side.
Understood, sir. So thank you so much. That was all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Agarwal from 91 Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just a while back you mentioned that for the full year you expect to have a double-digit margin. So, did I hear it right? You mean to say only for the next two quarters, or for the entire year you mean 11-12% kind of margin?
Yeah, for the we are talking about the whole year. And see, the generally what happens is the first and the last quarter are a little smaller than the second and the third quarter. They contribute better. Okay. When in terms of revenue, finally the costs at costs are more or less fixed, and as the revenue grows, our margin also improves. So we believe that with improved gross margins and the initiatives that we have taken, we will be able to for the whole year cross the double digit on margin.
Okay, and so in terms of growth. So as compared to FY23, the last financial year, we still believe that we can grow at 11-12% kind of growth?
With the current market condition, we still believe we'll be able to grow at that low teens, that is low double digit. But if the market improves, which is also a possibility, then we may also go back to our historic growth rates. We have been, the CAGR for us the last 5 years is 19%. And even if the current demand condition continues, we believe that we will be able to cross the double digit.
Sir, just a bit of back calculation that I did. I just want to share it with you and tell me if I am wrong anywhere. So let's say even if we grow at 12% and on the base of 1281 CR, which is what you posted in your last financial year. In the second half, the ask rate for the growth is 38% on a YOY basis if I compare 2H versus 2H. So is that something which we aspire to do, or is it possible to do a 38% kind of a YOY growth in the second half?
We aspire to do and it is possible to do.
Okay. Great, sir. And thank you so much for answering my questions and all the best for the next 2 quarters. And wish you a very happy Diwali.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Mundra from Sorwell. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, sir. Sir, my question is, air fryer has been a very successful product for us. So what is the share of air fryer currently for this financial year? What do you expect it to as a total revenue?
Good evening, Mundraji. Actually, in terms of, see, there are two, three ways to evaluate this. One is on the number of units that we sell and the value terms, what the revenue. So, honestly speaking, what we, without having got authentic data to certify this, we are definitely leaders in by number of units that we sell. And in terms of contribution that is doing for the company, I can say it is already contributing 6% to the revenue. And but then this is at the level that we are able to cater the demand. The demand is much higher than what it is, so we are also building capacity. So I can only assure you with the way that is happening, definitely by number of consumers using our air fryer, we will be the largest.
Okay. So 6% is a very good number. So are there any, you have mentioned in your PPT and also mentioned when you answered the call on, for the other participants, you are launching new products. But are there products which can become as successful as air fryer, or what is the benchmark to decide which product to launch so that it can give 5-6% of the overall revenue of the company?
I will repeat, maybe in the earlier calls I would have told, the strategy of the company is to first evaluate a product, get the acceptance of the consumer. There are learnings in this process. Once there is an acceptance of the product, we would start manufacturing this. In other terms, you can call this assembling these products, which does bring the cost down because of the duty advantage and the labor cost that is at India. And so once they, we cross this stage and we pass on the benefits that we accrue during the manufacturing stage, if we see there is a demand which is in excess of what we are currently doing, then we backward integrate. This also gives further advantage. And in this process, all the products that we have done in the past have got to leadership. So we did this with our induction cooktop initially, then we did with our electric iron in the previous time. We did it with our chopper. We did this now recently with our air fryer, and then we started this with our iron. We are seeing similar kind of trends in any of the product categories that we want to get there. We are confident that any of the product categories that we get into manufacturing will be definitely in the top three.
Yeah, so I understood, sir. So what I was asking, sir, air fry, other than air fry, you are saying iron is a new product which can become big for us.
Sure.
And what about the slow juicer? Do you see the similar potential for that?
Yeah, it is in the phase of initial stage where we are getting the acceptance of the consumer. It may take a little more time for us to get to a stage where we decide that we will move to manufacturing on the slow juicer. For sure, once we get to that stage, we are very confident that then there is a kind of very unique situation where we have no competition in terms of cost. And we are able to, because the capabilities for making these products exist in the facilities of Stovecraft. We don't have to, you know, acquire new capability or new technology. Any of these appliances, all those technologies that go into the manufacture of these products are readily available within the facilities of Stovecraft. That is a unique advantage your company has, Mundraji.
Okay. Sir, one more question, sir. Our employee and other expenses, if I remove the, if I take for the first 6 months the overall employee and other expenses, it is already 26% of our revenue. This is largely because the festive season has moved to next quarter. So even if I adjust that, then also it is 24.5%. So I was just wondering, sir, your formula of 35% gross margin and 24% expenses has not passed in the first 6 months. Expenses have gone much more than your expected projection. So any thoughts on that, sir?
Yeah. So some of these costs are also related to the retail costs and the future investments that we have done on people and the various facilities. We also moved some of our capex to opex. All these are part of that. So the only choice for us is to improve on our gross margins. We are working. Work is in progress. Ultimately, all that endeavor will be to achieve that first we get to that 11% margin, for which if our costs are at 25%, obviously we'll have to be at higher of 36% on gross margin. We are working on that, Mundraji.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priyank Agarwal from Equirus Wealth Private Limited. Please go ahead. And the current participant line has been disconnected. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayan from Tunga Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you. A couple of questions. What is your channel sales mix? What percentage of your sales is to modern trade and the institutional side?
Modern trade is modern trade generally contributes around 12%. I'll give you the exact number for this quarter. And corporate sales or whatever you call institutional sales, I can give you. So the GT today for us is 32-33%. Institutional sales is about 3%. E-com is at 33.5%. Our export is at about 13.5%. Modern trade is in the same line, is at about 12%.
Got it. Do you also sell in the CSD canteen?
We have not yet started our channel for CSD. In the past, we were little averse to this, but we are exploring now. Maybe in the next 3-4 quarters, you will see that we will also get into this channel. So that is a strategy of the company, that we build more channels and more products so that we get a multiplier.
Okay. Just from a brand perception point of view, at least based on some of the anecdotal checks which we did, PGN is more considered as a budget brand or an economic brand. Okay. Now, how do you like to put that in the overall context, whether you want to be known as an economy brand, and if so, are you a price taker? That is the first question. And as a follow-up to that, how do you look at it over a period of time? Do you want to be known as an economy brand?
Let me actually put it in the right perspective and rather than exactly how you asked me. We would want to cater to the largest segment of the population in this country. We believe that the emerging and the aspiring class is what is contributing to the largest consumption in this country. We will continue to grow with the way this segment of the country grows. Today, we believe they are all very, very cost conscious. So we would want to make high quality products affordable to them so that they can acquire this, they can able to afford this. So if you want to qualify as an entry level or a value brand, is absolutely okay for us. We believe that that is the business that we want to be in under the Pigeon brand, so that we can reach out to more and more families. We would want to be in every home, particularly in this segment, which is the largest segment of this country.
Got it. The reason I ask this question is that if I look at across various segments, be it automotive or be it QSR, etc., we find that at least in the last 6 months, there has been a big slowdown in the economy segment. And a lot of customers are actually not coming into the segment or either not repurchasing. Does that actually play a role in your, because the segment you are catching in?
Let me explain to you again. It is your understanding of the segment as economic segment. So we would want to make aspirational product of very high quality, and make them affordable. So it is not that these products are cheap or these products are not of aspiring standards. Example is some of, I mean, if you will see our electric iron, it is the top of the line, it is what you call as a fully loaded iron. So it is, but then we have made it affordable. Or if you see our air fryer, you will have to compare it with the best in the, not only in the country, globally. And then, but we have made it affordable. So it is similar to any of our product categories. We make these products of very high aspirational quality at affordable prices. So then it is for the masses who are already valuing, I mean, those larger segment of the population which is valuing their money, that is our TG. Of course, there is also a spillover. Everybody would want to then buy products in the Pigeon brand. But are we creating a niche and saying that, no, I am not for you. It is a very niche brand. If you own me, then I'm you need to be very proud about it. It is not that brand that we are creating. We are creating a brand that people can afford, but rely on. They can be very sure of the product that they acquire and be more loyal to the brand as we bring more offerings.
So one last question. When you started the year and where you are now, you are 6 months into, how have you been positively surprised by your own internal estimates, or which areas have given positive surprise to you and in which areas have given negative surprise to you?
Let me say it is in line with our expectations. We could have done a little more better. It is not that there is lot of any disappointment. Some of the positive, not surprises, but on expected lines, we didn't expect the demand for air fryers to outshoot our production capacities that we have set out. So these are some positive surprises. There are also some more surprises I want to tell. Today, while we make all of the 100%, it's a backward integrated facility for our kettles and our induction cooktops. We set up manufacturing lines considering the demand overall that considering the projected demand, but it is overshot our expectations. Today our manufacturing facilities are running full. In spite of that, we are short servicing the market. There are also some better to do situations. We can do better on our pressure cookers. There is an opportunity that is there, but we can definitely do better. So I think these are the both
positive things. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Naman Bansali from Perpetuity Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So over the last two quarters, we have seen decent jump in gross margins, and we have talked about raw material softening and price rise. But how has the retail store stayed in played the part in gross margins? Can you please help me with that?
So the gross margins at retail continue to be at the same level. We are in that 48% to 52% between that. It depends on between the months, but the median is around 50% gross margin at the retail.
And if we see from last year, from around 30% to 33% gross margin, we have moved up to around 36% in the first half. So can you attribute between these two, three factors, how much would that be from the retail, if you can give me?
Can you please repeat this question? Somehow I missed you.
Yeah, I was asking that in FY22, we were doing around 30% to 33% gross margin. And in the first half itself, in FY24, we are doing around 36% gross margin. So I just wanted to get a picture that how has the retail played a part in this, and how much would be the contribution from retail in terms of expansion of the gross margin?
So if we have done about 20 crores from retail, and if there is an additional 15% margin that we would have got from retail, so about 3 crores is additional margin which we will have to knock off from our gross margin, of the total gross margin. While of course it adds to help us to increase our gross margins, but it is not so substantial that it will impact the gross margin in a big way. It could be a few decimal points.
Got it. And secondly, in the last call, you had mentioned that our stores are currently breaking even at a 3 lakh per store revenue number. And in the recent presentation, you have put up a 4 lakh number at the current run rate. So how do you see this revenue per store number going on over the next few years? And are we making somewhere around 15-20% margins on this particular business?
So yeah, anything beyond 3 lakh average revenue for the store, overall the retail makes margin beyond 3 lakhs. At 4 lakhs, I can say more or less, if you will go by the number, at the contribution margin from the retail to the company will be in the range of 50,000 per store at the 4 lakh. But we believe as the vintage of the stores, as they grow. We believe this will be much higher. The revenue number from these stores will be much higher. And we believe very soon we should hit the 5-6 lakh average revenue. And overall, I'll tell you the feel on the retail store, both it is also giving us a very strong brand presence in the consumer's mind, and we are able to display the complete range of products in our stores, but it is also very profitable.
Good. That's it
for me.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Priyank Agarwal from Equiris Wealth Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I want to ask about the product mix within the small appliances category. Specifically, if we see the YOY volume growth, it is around 7%. However, the revenue growth is 1%. So, sir, can you please tell me if we are facing any stiff competition within this category despite of new product launches, and how do you see this performing going ahead given the fact that our revenue mix from this category has always been more than 30%? So, how do you think this category mix would be changing and growing going ahead?
So in the long term, this category will lead the contribution from the overall. If you classify these three as appliances, cookware, and cooktops, currently the cookware category that is the pressure cooker and nonstick cookware leads and contributes the largest. But as we go in the long term, the appliances category, we believe, will outgrow these two categories. Value front, of course, as I mentioned earlier, we pass on any of the gains that go into our cost. It may not be 100% of that, but there has been a substantial advantage in the input cost, whether it was in imports of our various components that we import or in domestic metals that we buy. So that has been passed on. So net gross realization per unit cost has come down. So while the number of units that we sell is going up, the revenue crosses that shortfall coverage by the number of units, we still see not great growth in revenue. In short, I will tell you, there is a volume growth, but the revenue will follow.
Sure. And the second question is with regards to the exclusive stores which were opening in the southern region. Is there any plan to open stores like apart from the South India, and how the margins would be looking like going ahead?
Margins, as I explained to you, we are, because of the overall margin is a manufacturer to retail, the margins, in spite of we are at par with what we sell through our retailers and the e-com channels, we are at the same margin that I mentioned, between 48 to 52. On the storefront, we already started signing properties in the Delhi and NCR region. In the coming quarters, you will see that we'll be opening stores both in the north and the west. Ultimately, we will be across the country.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pujan Shah from PS Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for the opportunity. My first question would be on the Pigeon store. So as we have been expanding our Pigeon store on the exclusivity, so we know that the our product has been distinguished and has been remarked in the market, but why we have thought about the to open the Pigeon store on the exclusive, like we know that we have so much of retail distribution. We have a pan-India network distribution. So why exclusive Pigeon store? What was the thought process for that?
Yeah. We of course have various channels. It is not only the general trade. We work, we reach our consumers to the modern trade. We also reach our consumers to e-com. But the exclusive stores give us an opportunity to display the entire range of products. This gives a, it's a touch point for the consumer to experience the brand. It gives a real experience at these stores, while of course the general trade is where we, the larger contribution is coming, but not necessarily any of these general trade stores will want or is able to stock the very, very large, wide range of products that we were already in, but is not limited to only to this thought. We also have large plans for expanding our product offerings, and that is only possible by having our exclusive stores. It is also giving us some, we are able to realize that wherever we have opened our stores, more and more dealers are expanding the categories of products that they were otherwise stocking.
Okay, that's very great, sir. I just wanted to reconfirm about the split which you have provided. So can you just repeat the split of the distribution of institutional e-com exports?
You'll have to repeat this question, please.
Yeah. So I just want to, I just missed the split about the institutional e-com exports, modern trade, revenue
okay,
split. So can you just repeat?
Let me do it. The general trade is contributing between 33% and 34%.
Okay.
The modern trade is giving 12%. Okay. Institutional sales is giving about 3%. Our e-com is at 33.5%. Our export is at about 14%. Retail is of course small, 2.4%.
Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Jain from NB Investment. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Sir, my one question is regarding this exclusive pigeon stores. In the earlier calls, you had mentioned that you are trying to open this through a franchisee route. So what is the status of that?
So all these stores are currently company-owned, company-operated. We have already started onboarding franchises. The process has started. So there is a lot of interest in this. We believe that every month we will, while we'll open new 8 to 10 stores, we'll also onboard 8 to 10 franchises. That could be for both existing stores and future stores. We have a commercial plan for which. So as we go forward, all the future cash flows, particularly to open up stores, will drastically come down. This will be company-owned, franchisee-operated concept stores.
Sir, out of the current 106 outlets, so how many of them are owned by the franchisees?
106. All the 106 are owned by the company. They will be, they'll continue to be owned by the company. But in the next 1 month, you will see the 10 stores will be managed by the franchisees. That means it will free up the cash that we have invested in these stores, and then the OPEX towards people cost or managing the store, and the responsibility of the store will move to the franchisee. The company will continue to own the store and also will have the rental liability on the company's P&L.
So they would be only responsible for the stocks and the staff and the sales.
You are right.
Okay. Sir, even in the north and west that you are planning to expand, there also you would be following the same model?
So for us, we believe that any business has to be first tested right at our own end. Once it gets to a critical mass and very confident about the partner also enjoying this relationship, then we would want to give it to the franchisee. So for us, we believe that these stores should get to the 5 lakhs revenue, which takes some 3-4 months time from the beginning, and it should not frustrate them. And then that is the growth story that they can build. So all these stores will initially be built by the company, will continue to be owned by the company, but will be transferred to the franchisee. This, the whole objective is that it will ease up operational, those nuances, so that it is then run by an entrepreneur, but the revenue is recognized on the company's books. It is controlled by the company's strategy, how they want to, the touch feel of the store, how they want to manage the store. We will continue to have our standard SOPs, which guidelines the franchise will have to adhere to.
So that means the franchisee will not be paying even for the initial investment you would have done on the fascia of the, the store and all those things, right? That will be done by the company.
For the franchisee, there is no capital expenditure. Of course, there is a deposit that we will be taking, and this is a refundable deposit. Even if you want to know the number, we will want a 15 lakhs refundable deposit from the franchisee and a 2 lakhs as a kind of a non-refundable payment that will be when he enters into the agreement with the company.
Okay, that is fine. But would they be making advance payment for the stock that they will be buying?
No, the stocks will be on the company's books. So for us, the current outlay of the overall cost of a store, including the inventory that we hold, is in the range of 20 lakhs.
Okay, fair enough. Sir, my second question is, you have announced launching of, manufacturing of these so many products. So I just want to know, when we are launching so many products, is it not becoming, our concentration is it not getting diluting instead of increasing the market share of the existing products?
I don't believe that, because I again want to tell you that we are building a brand which we want to build loyalty of our consumers. If our existing products are doing well, they will go for more products. And because of the new products, they are happy with that, they will come back to also buy the other products. Many of these product categories that we are in, the life cycle of this is drastically coming down. I mean, the consumer pattern is changing. They are replacing these products more frequently than in the past. So including the existing categories, we are growing. So that is a growth from existing categories and a growth from additional categories. So if you want me to quantify that as a company in the category that we operate, we have been continuing to grow at a much higher rate than the industry growth rate. So that is also possible because of the additional product categories that we are getting into.
Okay, so just to get a feel of it, so what would be the growth of the nearly, more than a year old products and the growth of the recently launched products?
So within the categories also there is refinement. So if I will want to give you an example, we are in pressure cooker business and we make aluminum pressure cooker. We got into making stainless steel pressure cookers. We got into making hard noodles pressure cookers. We got into making tri-ply pressure cookers. Very soon we are getting into a category called electric pressure cookers. So within the pressure cooker category, we continue to grow. There will be some, I was also mentioning that we will move with our consumers. As the consumers' aspirations grow, they move to the next level of the product, same product category. A customer who was buying aluminum pressure cooker want to replace it with an hardened pressure cooker, and a customer who wants to little move upward want to look at a stainless steel pressure cooker, or they also want to look at a higher end of the stainless steel pressure cooker or electric. So there could be at a certain point of time, maybe in the future, it's not at the current, we may completely stop manufacturing aluminum pressure cookers. So it is a category evolvement also when we say we are making many, many products. And the new product itself is a new addition to our business. So I was mentioning you about the mixer grinder. We believe that we will revamp this category. Today, we are nowhere in the mixer grinder standing in the market. But in the future, you could see, maybe you will find us in the top three or maybe leaders. So that is because our view of this category is different. We believe that the consumer is evolving and is aspiring to have something better.
Okay. No, sir, I'm not suggesting or saying that, the older products need to be replaced or stopped. what just to get a feel of it, what could be the growth we are getting in those already launched products and the recently launched product? That's what I was trying to ask.
Yeah, we are still continuing to grow in our existing products, and of course the new product, because the base is zero, there is always growth in that.
Okay. So my next question is regarding, you know, you had gotten a lot of, you know, senior management people at the, you know, higher level
in this room.
So just wanted to know, are you seeing any changes in the, you know, the company or the, you know, running of the company? Anything you could share with us?
I'm sure at the company level, we are experiencing very high confidence in the capabilities of these people over here. They are the new family members of Stokecraft and the new leadership team. And they come with very, very diverse experience. And being here itself, I think, is a testimonial of their process that we would have followed to bring them here. And for the future, it is a very secure future, because we have a very, very large, very strong leadership team for the size of business that we have today. The whole objective of this whole large leadership team is for a very aspirationally very large company and not from the current levels that we are.
Okay. So my last question is regarding export. You had mentioning that you would like to grow at a 20% level every year. And also you are trying to have some reach 20% of our sales from the export. So where do we stand as of this
year? We are growing in the lines that we discussed. We are growing there a little better.
Okay, but you also had some plans to launch our own brands also in the US or England, you know, European markets. Any thoughts on that, sir?
Not in the European market. We are building our network within the Northern American markets with the retailers. We are very successful in our plan. We are continuing to grow there. We are able to add more dealers and more retail chains and more product categories there. And when there is a reasonable size scale that we believe that is relatively larger than where we are, because there are operational costs which have to meet and make it profitable operations. So it's a little away. It's not very in the next 2-3 few quarters, but definitely in the near future, maybe in the next 2-3 years, you'll see us launching our own operations and the brand in the US.
Okay. Sir, I have one more last question if I can squeeze in. Sir, you are focusing more on the Pigeon brand, you know, on the exclusive stores and other things. So just wanted to know, what is the management thinking on one is the Beck and Decker brand as well as the Gilmer store? So anything has happening in these two brands that we have?
We have 68 Gilmer stores, and gradually we are adding, not at the pace that we are adding Pigeon stores. But we will gradually add more stores in the Gilmer brand. But the Gilmer brand is more defined for Hobbs & Chimneys. The Black & Decker brand, of course, had a lull in between the supply chain challenges during the COVID time. Most of these products are imported. Now we are developing products under the Black & Decker brand in coordination with the Black & Decker design team. So these products, when manufactured within the facilities of Stokecraft, will be catering to both domestic markets in the country and their global franchises across the world. So there are strategies for growth. Currently, the contribution from these two brands, of course, are minuscule. But in the future, you will see also contribution from these brands moving from that current 5% to 10%.
So based on your whatever the current realities, how much time that may take? A year or more than that?
It will not be in a year. It's not such a crash because the company is also growing. It has to outgrow the growth of the Pigeon brand to contribute to get to 10%. I can say when if we have to get to 10%, it could be between 3 to 5 years.
No, sir, because we have that license period. You know, with Becker, so that may get nearer to that, right?
We have a 20 years arrangement, 10 plus 10, and
okay.
We have exhausted 6 years, and the limitation is the current agreement is for 20 years. It does not mean at the end of 20 years we terminate. It is an arrangement that is currently agreed upon.
Okay, sir. So thank you very much for all the clarification, and wish you and your team a happy Diwali. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, sir. Happy Diwali to you too.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you all of you for patiently having given your time this evening. I'm sure we would have been able to answer all your queries and questions. But if you have any questions which are remain unanswered, or if you would want to know, you can anytime reach out to our investor relationship team at Orient Capital, or you can also write to us whenever. We will do our best to answer all your questions. Thank you again. Good evening, and wish you all and the families at home a very, very happy Diwali. Thank you.
Thank you. In case of any inquiries, you can reach out to our investor relation partner at parth.patel@linkintime.co.in. On behalf of Stockcraft Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.